I did get a little scoop on what Bijan was up to in his offseason. He talked about it yesterday when he was here reporting for the Falcons, because we are here at training camp today. Practice is day one, but they reported yesterday. But I want to mention before we get to that, that Dave Archer just told us about a kind of a cool concept that's happening this weekend. They've got a live broadcast happening this weekend, AtlantaFalcons.com, during practice. So they're going to be talking about everything that's going on the field during practice. It's going to start roughly 9 a.m., 9:15. Just log on to AtlantaFalcons.com to check that out. It should be very interesting.
Yeah, Allie, I mean, we talk about it all the time. I don't believe any duo in Atlanta media knows more about these Atlanta Falcons than myself and Bo Morgan, but there is no one man that knows more about the Atlanta Falcons than Dave Archer, so he's always a joy to have on the show and also to listen to wherever his outlet is. So I'm sure that anybody that needs to watch what's going on at practice or listen to what's going on at practice, that live broadcast is going to be awesome on AtlantaFalcons.com.
Well, we are so close to everything getting kicked off around here. I mean, fans are coming in. They're getting set up, and it's a party out here, basically.
I've already counted three Mafia members that have come by and given thumbs down to Squid Nation.
Really? Because, I mean, in the middle of the arts interview, there was people screaming Squid Nation.
No, you didn't hear the first word.
He said something else before
Squid Nation.
We just had a whole show that does a podcast. They're all Squid Nation.
He said blank Squid Nation. That's what he said.
Everybody that came in this gate early is because of me. Because they listened to me.
That is the credit that Bo is taking today. But what I'm loving is, like, people have been walking by our broadcast, and yep, they are filming us, so I'm filming them right back.
Because yeah, I love it, man. I love it. We're out here.
Yeah.
We're out here.
Oh, you film me, I film you.
Wham, 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 he says. I love it, man. I love it.
So let's get into.
No, you got to go. Sir, you've been ejected from the premises. You have to leave now.
If you are coming to training camp today, please find us.
No. There we go. Look at that. We heard that. That's some Squid Nation in the house. Go get that Mike's Mafia member. Well, he's a little bit big, and you don't do that.
Well, if we can, let's try to get into some of the conversation Bijan was having yesterday about his offseason. Apparently, he spent some time with Christian McCaffrey.
It was great. Like, me and him just giving each other just so many tips and you know, just feeding off knowledge from each other on the field. And, you know, we worked for the whole month. So, like, I got to see how he worked. He got to see how I worked. And we got to put it together. And, you know, it was just really cool, like, you know, two guys coming together just trying to make each other better. And, you know, he taught me a whole bunch of nuanced moves that I got to learn on the field. And, you know, I did the same with him. And I think it's just really cool, like, having a vet like McCaffrey you know, be a brother to me as well, and so I can learn, you know, all the cool things that he's done on the field, and, you know, and vice versa. So it was really cool to work with him this summer.
Allie, going all the way back to the day after Bijan was drafted, the conversations around Atlanta were always about Christian McCaffrey and the upside for Bijan Robinson, and not only his ability in the run game, the quick twitch, the lateral burst, but also the way he can affect things in the passing game with his hands, catching screens, catching the ball out of the backfield. And that's exactly what has come to fruition in Bijan's first couple of years as a member of the Atlanta Falcons. And so I tell you, one of the biggest takeaways, and I'm curious to get Bo on this as well. You saw pictures of them kind of getting a workout in together out in California or wherever it was. I was shocked, I think. I think that most people look at Christian McCaffrey as a bigger stature than Bijan Robinson. They look very comparable size-wise when they stood up next to each other. And as far as the thickness, you know, and the height.
It's funny that you say that. I always perceived Christian McCaffrey to be a little bit shorter in stature.
No kidding.
Than Bijan. But I'm around. But dude, because Christian is nothing like his dad in size.
Right.
Like, his dad was a long, long dude, taller, and Christian's more compact. I don't think people realize how big Bijan actually is.
Yeah. He's a tree trunk.
You know, remember. I want to ask you. Actually, I want to ask you something about Bijan's future here, as far as a player, because I'm not knocking any of the other players that have gotten him the ball. Not even Kirk. I know Kirk's an elite processor, as we like to do. But I think Penix probably gets rid of the ball as quick as anybody that he's played with. And I wonder if that's going in his decision making, and as it gets better, if that we're not going to see Bijan get more fed more in just as in a check down or whatever, and get in more open space to maybe make people. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I just kind of see that could be a thing. I think his receiving yards are going to go up this year.
I would be curious to see what that is, and I think we all are in agreement that Zach Robinson has to make some strides in terms of the way these play designs are. You know, obviously you look at Dwayne Ledford and his ability to kind of put things together in the run game, but play design-wise in the pass game, I think things have to take another step as well. And I think that a lot of that – I think Bijan's yardage goes hand-in-hand with Kyle Pitts. What is the second level doing in terms of ability to defend a tight end position and a running back position? If you can use Kyle Pitts and kind of use him alongside of Bijan, kind of unlock both of those guys, I think you'll really hit the next level offensively.
Are they going to defend Kyle Pitts this year where they think he is – something that they need to give extra attention to, or are they going to look – are they going to – and I say they as in opposing teams – or are they going to come in with, he's a Jag?
Ask me tomorrow at the same time, right, when we – after we've seen these guys out on the field. And I think Kyle Pitts – he had a good training camp last year. But you have to see that next level, and Raheem Morris has talked about it. Kirk talked about it last year. Zach Robinson talked about it. He has to be one of those guys that's held accountable throughout training camp. If he can't do it and come out here and bring an extra level during a contract season – as a first-round, top five draft pick, then he's never going to be able to do it for you.
Because if defenses, and I think they did early on in his career, and I don't know how they do it. But if they sit down and say five's a problem, seven's a problem, number one Darnell, right? He's a problem. Hey, you coach, if you got eight, I ain't worried about him.
Yeah,
But then again, they might be saying eight's a problem.
Right. And that's the theory that goes along with it about the beauty of having those guys all in the backfield and doing different things. So it's exciting if you can get the most out of all of those guys at the same time. It seems like it's been whack-a-mole at times with the offense. This guy's not having a good day. That guy's not having a good year. That guy's in a rough four-game stretch. The quarterback's falling off. This guy's dinged up. If you can get them all going at the same time, it is a frightening offense just in terms of talent overall.
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting to think about if you could get a game or two or a stretch with all these guys on the same page and on all running on, all the cylinders, that you could look at a 2016-type scoring season. Mm. All right, Dylan, let's go. I mean, apropos that we start my segment, more members of the nation come over here and speak to us. Dylan, help me with this because I want you to be a part of this because you know this. There, Jeff Teague is on a podcast, and Jeff Teague is like he's like the guy you want to have a podcast that after they've played in the NBA for years.
Right, he's going to open up a little bit.
He's DJ Truth Serum. I mean, everything he says is Truth Serum. Some of the things he probably shouldn't say. So there was a time period in LeBron's career, and Dylan, I know you remember this, where LeBron is a big dude, right?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, one day, he shows up and he like to camp, and he looks like he's lost 30 pounds.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely remember that. It was just – I used to remember LeBron as like they always talk about how big and strong he was, and he was still strong, but you could see more definition, and it felt like he had more muscle, like more muscle mass. And then like you said, it was one year, it felt like he slimmed down a lot. I was like, yo, was LeBron trying to shed?
Well – Jeff Teague on his podcast gave his reasoning for why that was.
He was on steroids, bro. He had to sit out. He was on steroids for real. legit was on steroids, bro. Allegedly. But, like, he had to sit out. Bro, y'all remember when they told him, like, they
got some plus sports allegations?
Y'all remember that, though? No. When they was like, he got everybody, they started testing for HGH. And he had to sit out. Like, he said his back was hurt. And he sat out for, like, 3 weeks. And he came back skinny. This is just, I was in the league. I remember. And he came back in. He was crazy, though.
Now,
bro,
that might have been the best Bron, bro.
So, he said that. And, he's since come out and said, y'all weird. I was joking about Bron. He was just dominant. Chill. But here's the deal. There and Gordon showed it to me, G Money here, who's producing on site and engineering, and he said, hey, like, they talked about us back in the day, and there's a shot, a clip of Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith on the old First Take, and Kellerman even goes, remember that weird 3-week absence he had? Like, where was that? All of a sudden he's got back issues, and they were talking about something completely different, but even you can tell that there had been conversation behind this with sources, air quote sources, about why he had missed. It's really weird because it did happen. And I'm not accusing or anything, but for Jeff Teague just to randomly just throw that out there.
It was strange. Very strange.
Sometimes there's truth into what things people say, even if they say, no, I was just kidding.
Yeah. Exactly. When you're joking, there's a little hint of truth in there. Well, that is going to do it for us today. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, Gordon, and myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. If you are out at Falcons training camp, please come find us. We are here all day, and the Steakhouse is going to take over next. They are up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to...
Y'all got to stay cool out here at training camp.